Blog Talk Radio.
Yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting to hurry up and rescue you.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with a Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro. As seen on the Wall Street Journal, Time Magazine, USA Today, CNN, and many other media outlets. Had to squeeze that one in there. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, July 8th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like hats, t-shirts, coffee mugs, mouse pads, and yes, flip-flops. Ha ha! And, of course, get any kind of information about any kind of chicken coop contest going on, all there at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. Yes, I mean around the world. We have regular listeners from all across Europe, Australia, across Asia, Canada, and, of course, America. So thank you for tuning in all across the planet. Just this week, we had some listeners in the Philippines join us in the chat room. Also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list at Blog Talk Radio. Hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And, again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery. EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waterers, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today, this wonderful McMurray Hatchery Thursday. And I want to bring on my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Welcome, Pat. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, hey, Whisper, it's always good to be on. Boy, things are popping like popcorn across the country when it comes to backyard chickens. Congratulations on the Wall Street Journal article. That's fabulous.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah, just, you know, a lot of our new listeners, it's absolutely been amazing. We try to post as much as we can on the Chicken Whisperer Facebook page. We try not too much to, of course, toot our own horn. Nobody likes that. But, I mean, this ranks us up there. We've been front page Wall Street Journal. We've been in Time Magazine, The Economist, USA Today, the big paper here in Atlanta, front page story, Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS. You name it, we've pretty much been there now. So that just shows that backyard poultry is sweeping the world and people are starting to recognize it. There's still some people that need to get a little bit more educated on what it really means to have backyard poultry, all the advantages of keeping backyard poultry. But it's booming like crazy. And the article, and of course we got the webcam up. If you haven't already got it, it is online as well, but here it is. You can see in the webcam the Wall Street Journal. Let me flip it over. It's below the fold, but hey, it's still on the front page. Fowl fans see golden eggs in catering to pet chicken market. And about six or seven folks were mentioned in the article. Myself, of course, my good buddy Rob at backyardchickens.com, my good folks at My Pet Chicken, Derek and Tracy, the makers of the chicken diapers, chickendiapers.com, I believe it is, some chicken clothing company. It's in here. It's great. Wall Street Journal today, front page, and then continued on A16. And of course, you can also see it online. There's a great slideshow online where you can see my mugshot there as well. But yeah, it's just to have something like that on the Wall Street Journal. It takes the cake. So it was really awesome. It ranks up there with our mention in Time Magazine, which I value so much. So thank you very much for that, Pat. It's exciting, and it's all about, honestly, and y'all know me, it's promoting backyard poultry, and we try to do that as best we can with the eggs and the compost, the fertilizer, the insect control, the education, the sustainability, the whole nine yards. We love it. So you can see everything we posted. I posted it all on Facebook, which then carries it over to Twitter. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. Also, Pat, I'm tired. I didn't get really
to you are.
I didn't get to bed really till about 2 a.m. last night, and then woke up about 5:20 and got ready for today. About 5:55, the doorbell rang. And we had about 20 people come storming into the house. The my neighbors thought, what in the world's going on? They probably thought I died with all the cars lining the street. But about 20, 25 people came in. They spread out a beautiful breakfast for us. We had USDA here. We had a vet representing the USDA here. We had the USDA's public relations team here. We had film crew here. We had producers here. We had a producer here from the TV show Saturday Night Live that was tagging along. It was absolutely amazing. And we had a video shoot where they're actually filming a video. They hope it to be a viral video, if you will, the Biosecurity for Birds USDA APHIS program about, you know, the importance of good husbandry practices. And so they are getting that produced. We filmed it this morning. All the takes, take one, two, three, four, and five, and then it was a wrap. And I've posted all kinds of pictures also on our Facebook and Twitter page of the shoot. And we just had a really, really good time. I really had fun talking to the USDA vet that was out here. We talked about many things, vaccinations, Merrick's, lots of disease, the backyard poultry movement, how they're starting to see more people at the poultry labs across the country that have backyard pet chickens. They're getting more phone calls from people that have backyard pet chickens asking questions. A lot of their services are free. And so we had a great time talking about that. And so we're looking forward to that. Yes, there was a Bard Rock, a chicken costume. He was actually a paid actor that they hired to come out, and he was in the chicken costume. And when they came out and did the site survey and we talked to them all, they decided for some reason, I don't know why, to use me as actor number two or whatever my position was instead of bringing in somebody. So I'll be on the video for that as well. And, of course, I'll post that whenever I can. Also, based on that, I think I posted it yesterday on our Facebook page. I'll announce it here. Let me scroll down. They are having a contest. Name the healthy bird and keep backyard poultry free from disease. And so there's a link there. You can go to the website. Their mascot needs a name. And some of the comments we've already had on our page, hopefully they will click on the link and enter the official names, because their name may get picked. We have McCluck. We've got that. We've got Rock. We've got, and I love this one, Sherlock Combs. Don't you love it?
The chicken jokes never end. They just never end. I like that one.
Sherlock Combs. We've got Roosty. Somebody said Andy, and I just kind of laughed out loud. Someone says, I wasn't going to go there, but glad someone else did. We've got, okay, here's one, Bio Bart Security. We've got Bird. We've got James Bird. We've got Colonel Sanders. We've got Major Defense. Major Defense. We've got, I can't even pronounce that one, apparently from Barney Miller show. Cogburn from the Rooster Cogburn. We've got, what are some others here? Barack Obama. So <we've got> that. Barack Obama. So we've got that one down. So lots of creative names. And like you said, Pat, there's no end of chicken jokes. But yeah, they're looking. That's a big contest. They're, you know, name their name the rooster, which happens to be their mascot there at USDA APHIS Biosecurity for Birds program. So yeah. My back's killing me, and, man, I'm tired, and 3 hours of sleep. I may just have to, even though I'm not a nap person, I may try to lay down a little bit after the radio show, kind of warm me out. But I did, I think I did pretty good on all my lines and got that taken care of, but it's been crazy with the Wall Street Journal coming out, USDA coming out, doing all of that. And those of you who don't know, I'm the official national spokesperson for the USDA APHIS program. And we've got you hear on the radio show now, a PSA, public service announcement, that we're playing. That's going to be played on radio stations nationwide. They've already bought all the time for that. That's going to start rolling out. And they're thinking, I think that's going to start rolling out around August 15th. And I'm not sure exactly when the Biosecurity for Birds viral video will start running out, but they are being broadcast. So we'll see how. Keep everybody abreast of the situation. So, yeah, I've been busy, 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 busy. It's been crazy, but we're having a really good time with it. And I'm probably going to start losing my voice here in a minute. But Thursday, let me get on track here. It is Thursday, which means every Thursday is sponsored by our friends over at McMurray Hatchery. And we actually have Matthew again joining us today. He's going to remind us and tell us all about and update us about the photo contest they're having at McMurrayHatchery.com. Tell us all about how many photos they've gotten, all the new updates, all the information. And then he's also going to let us know what special prize they have today for our chicken trivia contest, which we're going to have the last 10 minutes of today's show after we welcome another wonderful guest to the show, Richard Frudenberger, who's just calling in now. So, Matthew, you're live. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hi there, Andy. On our photo contest, we now have a gallery up. So all the photos that have been sent in, you can go there and see them, rate them, put your comments on them. And that there's a link to that on our blog, blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. You'll see it right there. And we've got over 700 photos there, so it'll take a little time. And you can come back and rate them and look at some, come back later, and you don't have to do them all in one shot. And we'll keep adding to it as we get more photos. And then also, I just wanted to remind everybody the Whisper 718 coupon code. This is the last day that that coupon code is good, so you can still use it today. And a lot of people have already taken advantage of that.
And what that gets them is it's that coupon code, which expires today, Whisper718 at McMurrayHatchery.com, or you can call in with that coupon code. That'll get you 10% off any order over $50. So definitely take advantage of that at McMurrayHatchery.com. That will end today.
Mm-hmm. And then we also just wanted to thank everybody. This week we had a special announcement for some black Australarps and white rocks we put out on Facebook and Twitter, and then Andy, you picked that up and reannounced that also, and a lot of people took advantage of that. Excellent savings on those chicks, so we just wanted to thank everybody for helping us out there, and I think it was a help to everybody that took advantage of it too. And
wonderful.
Yeah.
That came out like on a Saturday night. It was an odd announcement. So I was like, hey, we need to get this out there, because I know y'all a lot of time y'all were shipping actually out on Monday, which was the federal holiday, I think. But y'all were shipping out Monday. So yeah, I was more than happy to help get the word out there. And I know a couple of fans had contacted me and they were like, well, we bought them out.
They went pretty quick.
I think pullets went literally in about 30 minutes. I saw the update that you were out of pullets after about 30 minutes of announcing that. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then today for the chicken trivia contest, we have a Coop King hat. Which,
nice.
Let's see. I think Joe's got a link for that.
Okay.
That he'll send out, but it's a black baseball type cap with a picture of the Coop King rooster on it.
Sounds like a plan. We'll have a chicken trivia question at the end of the show today, the last 10 minutes. Again, every Thursday is sponsored by McMurray Hatchery, and they often come on with coupon codes to actually save you some moolah with things you probably are going to order anyway from McMurrayHatchery.com. So. And then, of course, every Thursday they have a great prize for our chicken trivia contest at the end of the show. Can you, not to put you on the spot, can you give us, we got the link in there, perfect, in the chat room, live chat. And then can you give us the link? Well, there it is. It's blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com. Thanks, Teacher Jen, in the chat room. blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com, and you can go there and get all the information about entering the photo contest there at mcmurrayhatchery.com. And great prizes, gift cards, just absolutely cool things. And who doesn't want to brag about their beautiful chickens?
Everybody does.
Got that right. Absolutely.
Yeah, I sure love mine. Yeah.
Well, perfect, Matthew. We appreciate you coming on, telling us and reminding us about the code that expires at midnight tonight, Whisper 718, and to remind everybody to get on there to the blog.mcmurrayhatchery.com for the photo contest, and then donating and providing the prize today for the chicken trivia contest. We appreciate you coming on, and definitely look forward to seeing you again. Well, actually, Pat and I broadcast last year 52 weeks out of the year, with a few days off here or there for the major holidays. And so this year, Pat and I, we put our heads together and said, you know what, let's broadcast 50 weeks out of the year, and we'll take 2 weeks off. And so we took a week off in June. We are actually next week, there will be no radio shows. Tomorrow, Friday, Fun Friday, will be our last show. There will be no shows next week, which is kind of a blessing because I have to work on my book. But and then we'll come back on Monday the 19th. So actually, we'll see you back here. Looks like Thursday the 22nd, Matthew, and that'll be the next time we bring you on with McMurrayHatchery.com.
Okay.
Super. Well, thank you very much for coming on, and you have a great weekend.
All right. You too, Andy. Thank you.
Yes. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye, Matthew.
Bye-bye, Pat.
There we go.
Boy, if I were to wear a lot of duck-billed hats, I'd want one of those. I mean, you could just go out and eat with either the Chicken Whisper baseball cap or the Murray McMurray. You're bound to start conversations wherever you go.
Yes. You too can be a Coop King. Coop King. Get your Coop King hat. And you know, if you don't win, you can always go to McMurrayHatchery.com and buy one. There you go. So,
Maybe they'll come out with a Coop Queen hat, you know, since most coops are inhabited by hens anyway. Is this that is a possibility, you know, another product.
A doormat. There it is, a doormat outside of our sunroom, and it had a picture of a rooster and a hen, and it said, he rules the roost, but she rules the rooster. That's what
I like
it is.
That.
He
like
rules
that.
The roost, but she rules the rooster.
Way to go, Jen.
Yep. Yes, you made me buy that. It stayed outside of our back patio for many, many months before it got worn down, and now it is somewhere in La La Land. So I don't even know. It may be in recyclable band if it recycles. So, all righty. Well, today's Thursday. It's the second Thursday of the month, which means Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. You can subscribe to that. Go ahead and take a look at their website, backhomemagazine.com. I am a subscriber. Love it. In fact, today we're actually going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, and actually is one of my favorite articles I've ever read out of Back Home Magazine, and it's all about possums. And you're thinking, possums? I thought this was a chicken show. If you have chickens, you've probably seen some possums. And so we're going to talk about, we're going to learn about them. I learned so much from that article. It really shed a new light on how I look at and handle and deal with possums in my yard or anywhere for that matter. So we're going to go ahead and bring on our friend and regular guest, Richard Frudenberger. Welcome, Richard.
Oh, hello, Andy. I sound like you have a pretty good show this far.
Yeah, so far so good. Having a great time, and I was wondering if you got the picture of me relaxing, sitting back under the beach umbrella, reading a Back Home Magazine.
I didn't, and actually Pat and I were speaking about that before the show, and I'm gonna look through the mail a little more closely. Maybe it's in the
spam folder.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. The spam folder. Go check through that because sometimes things get shot in there and I have to go look for them. So,
well, if you didn't get it, just shoot me over another email. I'll send it back. But I sent it over and I'll do it again if you just if you request it. Not a problem. I'll send it right back over to you. But today, talking about I guess we're talking a little bit about possums. I'm excited about this show because I've learned so much from the last article. And we're looking forward to sharing all your knowledge about this subject. We can all learn something every day. Get a pen and paper out, folks.
Yeah, we were gonna talk about that, and then maybe there'll be some time we can also do a little discussion on raccoons, because that seems to be an area that some people anyway aren't real familiar with, or maybe even as Pat and I were mentioning, maybe even confusing a raccoon with a possum, which to me seems pretty difficult, but you know, that could happen. And then just maybe a little bit, if we have time, about just some of the protection measures or protection against predators that you can use in and around the chicken yard, which is a topic for an entire show, I'm sure. But you know, we may be able to touch on some of that.
Great.
But I, you know, the possum, and probably every other time I'm on the Whisperer show, you bring up that article.
That's one of the reasons we chose the subject, Whisperer.
We thought we might shut him up for a few sessions.
Well, he has possum envy.
Yeah,
they get to sleep.
Let me explain why. We were dealing with that. I mean, it was our whole perimeter is fenced with a 6-foot solid wood, you know, the privacy fence, and I don't know what it is, if they, you know, certain times of the year, what it was, but we started, the dogs would always alert us when any predators around, and sure enough, all hours, they'd start barking, we'd go outside, and there'd be one or two walking our fence, never would come down into the coop. Of course, they have poultry netting above, and they're within the run inside the fence and the farm fence, so, I mean, but they're just walking around So, you know, we're saying, okay, how are we going to get rid of these? I don't want to, you know, be cruel. I live in a neighborhood. I can't pull out the, you know, the 12-gauge. So initially it was just kind of tossing some things at them, you know, and my bad aim, you know, I'd hit the possum to try to get it moving on its way about every 5 tries. And so finally I figured out that a nice stream of water from the water hose works wonders to get them on their way very, very quickly. So now whenever – if I haven't seen it in a while – But whenever I see them, that's the first thing I do is turn the water on, get that highest pressure water hose, and then just start hitting them. Play the carnival game where you got to fill up the balloon. I play carnival games out there with the water and the possums on the fence, and they go, man, they don't like water because, man, they skedaddle, they're gone. But it's one way I can get rid of them. But right there in the midst of us dealing with possums, I got the magazine in the mail, open it up, and there's the article. And it's so interesting about, you know, everybody's all, you know, oh, they're rabies. And it just very, very interesting and very educating. So I talk about it a lot because it just happened to be I got the article at the right time when I was dealing with that particular subject. And it's something I've remembered and referred to just about, you know, on a regular basis. It was great.
Yeah, and, you know, it's they're really not as ill an animal as you might think. They look a little they would put you off by their looks. I mean, they have that, first of all, they have that row of very sharp teeth. I think in my reading around, I think it said there's 50 teeth. They're not all of them aren't exactly as sharp as others, but there are several big incisor teeth, and they do show them when they're either in their phase of hissing at you, which is what they'll do if you really corner them, or when they actually collapse and go into that comatose state, they'll open their mouths and show their teeth, and they will drool and dribble and a lot of this, yeah, a lot of this is
sounds like my ex. No, just kidding, totally kidding. We're just too easy a chapter. Anyway, go.
A lot of this is, from what I understand, is to put off any predator of theirs because it makes them appear diseased. And in fact, it was a very interesting little side read I got hold of on the way to reading, looking for something else, that when they actually have done autopsies on adult possums that were older, they had found that there were quite a few of them had not only wounds that had healed over, but broken, scarred, nicked, and broken bones that had healed, because most likely in their state of catatonic repose, when they were threatened and they just collapsed into this coma state, the fox or the predator that may have, a dog or whatever it may have been after them, may have taken a bite or, you know, throwing them around a little bit and see how it is, and decided they'd better leave it alone. Inflict a little bit of injury, but eventually just drop them because they figure they may be poisoned or otherwise not a good meal. So they do have to, when they wake up, they do have to deal with that. But for the most part, their predators would just let them be after a little sniffing and poking, and they just let them go. And usually after about 20 minutes to a couple hours, they'll just snap out of it and waddle away. You know, off into the bushes or down to the creek, and away they go. And you know, one other thing that's probably most important to people. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't be touching, fooling with, or unless you're, you know, removing them from your garage or your patio or whatever. You really shouldn't be messing with them. But there's always that fear that they have rabies, and that's always the big thing I've heard from the locals or from anybody who lives in the country is, oh, they've got rabies. Well, from what I could find, and actually in that article that you referenced in our January February issue of this year, mm-hmm. and through a lot of other I spoke to some rehab people, some wildlife rehab people, and we have a little nature center up here in the city up north of us. Their body temperature of the possum is low enough that it is pretty difficult for the rabies virus to survive in them. So it's not that they can't get it, but it's a very rare occurrence. And of all the wildlife that carries rabies, probably either the least or one of the least likely to carry it is going to be the possum. So, you know, that's nice to know. I mean, that's really nice to know,
Richard. Yeah. I mean, that's a major thing there. Even though they're on their backs with their teeth showing, drooling and everything, that doesn't mean they have rabies. It's just their defense mechanism. So,
Well, they look like. They could look like a cat. In fact, even in that article that we are always talking about, in the beginning of it, the woman who wrote it said her son discovered the possum under their dishwasher and came running upstairs to his mom and said, "Well, it's a furry and it looks like Mystery, the cat, but I saw her asleep on the couch, so it couldn't have been her." And you know, they actually had a picture of it, and it sort of looked like a house cat, except for the tail. Of course, is a sort of that pinkish, grayish rat-like scaly tail, but other than that, I mean, from in the dark or in the dusk or from a distance, maybe you might mistake it for a cat. Not the head probably, but in fact, in my experience, many years ago when I lived in my first house here in the country, at dark I heard something scratching outside the sliding screen door going out to my deck, and I looked out there. The porch light had broken, so I didn't have the light. But I saw my cat out there. So I reached out, but she didn't come in. So I stuck my hand out and I started to scratch her neck, and it was real rough and nasty. And then this hissing started coming out. And I see his teeth, and I said, "Well, look at that. It's a possum." So I actually touched a possum. So that was many years ago. But I didn't get bitten. I didn't get anything more than hissed at. And it just waddled away. I mean, they're not very fast. I mean, they go at a fast waddle. Yeah, no, they're not.
Yeah.
And you can run over them very easily, as you have seen on the roads. You know, they're all over the place around here anyway. And they are not. They're more or less nuts.
That's why the chicken crossed a road to prove to the possum it could be done.
That's right. And Richard, just because it walked away from you, don't take it personally. You know, it's not that it didn't like your scratching or anything, but it just probably didn't know you well enough.
Yeah, it's going to come back another time. Yeah, they're nocturnal too. I mean, if they're out in the daytime, it's probably because they're looking for food. They're desperate for food. And the winter, you'll see them. It'll be more common to see them in the wintertime when the food's much more scarce. And obviously, you can, without the leaves to hide behind and without the foliage where they can actually conceal themselves, they'll stand out a little more in the winter against the snow or the, you know, the earth that doesn't have leaves on the trees or the bushes. So normally they would stay out of sight, hidden in the brush, and come out at night for their little foraging adventures. And you know, I had one in the garage. I left my garage door. I usually don't leave the garage door open, but I did leave the door open, and I unfortunately I had some it wasn't unfortunate, but it could have been. I had some chicks raising up. They were only about three or four weeks old I have a little 3x4 cage platform where under the lights where I raise the little newbies, and so that possum had come in and spent probably 2 days in there without my knowledge, until one evening I came out and I heard it digging, you know, running around or waddling around in the stuff, and it did not bother the chickens at all. Maybe because the wire was there around the place they stay, but it didn't seem to bother them. But I cornered it, and it wasn't going anyplace. I mean, it basically played dead, so I had to get a rake and basically just rake it out of the corner and let it go down into the outside the driveway. And then after that, I kept the door shut, and it stayed catatonic for a good 2 hours. And this was in the winter, so back in February, I guess. And after a couple hours, it was gone. So I assumed it just, you know, got up and went away, and I have never seen it again. So I'm assuming that was that, and the door is now shut and will stay shut at night anyway. So there won't be another event.
Now, Richard, the possum's main diet is really more like bugs and grubs types of thing. It's really not chickens or even baby chicks. Is that right?
Yeah. It's not really a carnivore in the sense that we think of actively hunting anything. It's a scrounger and a scrapper as far as going for scraps and garbage. Cat food. Leftover dog food, cat food that people leave outside. That's a real target for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would guess, and I've heard tales of them going after the chickens, but not so much the chickens, but more the eggs, I think.
Right.
Possibly.
Correct.
I mean, that's more the target there. And I guess, you know, possibility of a small chick being a target, I guess, could be there. But I think it's really dedicated to the eggs. I mean, any reasonable sense of protection, nighttime protection in a coop with, you know, wire, either a hot wire out there or some type of, solid. You put them in the coop and shut the entrance door for the animals and the human door, and there should be no problem at all, really.
Right. Well, that's why when we were talking earlier, I was saying, well, I think the raccoons get the possums get some of the bad rap for the damage that raccoons do, because the raccoons do love chickens. I mean, they'll even pull a chicken through chicken wire and kill it and eat it. So that was where the raccoon issue came in.
Yeah, and they both have. If you've noticed them, you can go on the website or search around a little bit and look at the feet. The rear feet of the possum are very versatile. I mean, it's almost like a hand. You know, they have almost like a working thumb, and the raccoon as well has the same thing in the front paws. So, or actually, all four of them, if I'm correct. Now, the raccoon's a whole other story. And the possum's a marsupial, so it has a pouch. It's a totally different animal. Carries its young in the pouch, and I've actually seen that. You see the little tails and, sticking out of there.
Yeah, it's so cute.
If you can find a picture on the web of that. That's
Andy's a marsupial. When he has his bibs on, he's got this little pouch in the front.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you carry chickens
in
that.
That's one of the advantages of bibs. I mean, they sort of can turn one into a marsupial. But anyway, that's just a little side comment.
Yeah. The raccoon is a whole different story. Now that's more related to the, I guess the closest relation from what I could see there was the Cody, not the Cody Mundi, because that's actually a misnomer, but the Cody cat animal from South America, and the raccoon now is a large and wide variety carrier of rabies. That's a sort of totally different thing. They say, I think there was something, and I don't know what year it was, in fairly recent history, in 2008, maybe 2007, there were something like 7,000 rabies case, documented rabies cases reported in the U.S., and about 40% of them were directly attributable to raccoons. So they are definitely more of a problem, and they are more of a problem for your chickens, because they will actively seek out young pullets and young birds and eggs, and they are very clever with their hands. So they have the ability to manipulate latches, locks, latch. Well, maybe not a key lock, but I mean a latch, a hook, a twist knob, anything that has a lever on it. I mean, it's not that difficult for them to open. In fact, my egg doors are simple, hook and latch things, and I'm thinking I might want to rethink that. Here, because either cover them up with something that's hard to get through, or maybe just turn them into something a little more difficult that has a two-step opening process instead of the simple hook. But because they can also get up, they can climb up and reach these things. They're not, they're belly height, so it's not that difficult for them. The raccoon is much more of a predator in the sense of for our purposes than a possum would be. And I think they're probably smarter about it too. So, you know, it's something I would concern myself with. And I keep I have about a 25 foot by 12 foot or 15 foot chicken run right outside the chicken house, and they're both connected. I mean, they're connected in the middle with a tunnel, with a full hardware cloth heavy wire housing around it, so that you really can't. It's a small enough hole in there that you really can't get your. You can poke a pencil through it, but you can't get much more through that. And the chickens can go up and in and out. But at night, they get locked in with a plywood door that latches shut, so they're in the big house locked in. And then in the daytime, they're out in the run, or they're free. But when they're in the run, I have a hot wire, a powerful electric fence that, with the wire running about 6 inches off the ground and about 6 inches away from the holes in the fence, so the chickens can't bite the wire by sticking their heads through, and that keeps most of the predators away. I've never had a problem with a predator in that situation. And I think, you know, a raccoon or a possum would get up there and would definitely get shocked. A snake probably could get underneath it, but may touch it on the way in. A bear will, would touch it, and bears, you know, they got 4 wet feet on the ground, so they hit that thing, and even though they're big, they know they've hit something, so they're not going to come back anytime soon. And the coyotes and the foxes, same deal. They're going to get zapped. So during the day, I'm not too worried about it. I leave the fence on all the time, and at night, I leave the fence on still, but put the chickens in the house. So it's a good wooden structure, and it's, you know, solid. So there's not going to be any. I mean, short of bear ripping it apart, there's not going to be any real issues with critters coming in there. Although I've heard that weasels and other, even a black snake possibly get up in between the boards possibly, and, you know, they're pretty dexterous that way. So, and people may know, I'm sure people know more about that than I do, but I've read some posts on sites that say, weasels and such have gotten through the cracks in their lap siding boards and, been able to come in and just decimate the population.
Richard, Pat got disconnected for just a second, but she is now live back with us, and I believe we have a caller on the line that wants to possibly ask you a question. So we're going to go to the phone lines here real quick and see if caller from area code 502, caller from 502 area code has a question. Welcome, area code 502. State your name and what state you're calling from.
My name is Bunny, and I'm from Kentucky. And I was calling. I had lost 3 of my hens on Monday morning and a rooster, and I'm not for sure what actually killed it, because there was all some feathers were gone. The rooster actually totally disappeared, but the 3 that were left dead, really, except for the feathers gone, didn't have any markings on them. And I didn't know if you thought maybe that was a dog. And also, I have one that is wounded, and I'm not for sure, she's not eating and drinking very well. I'm having to give her, you know, electrolytes, and I'm trying to give her some yogurt just to give her something down her, and I didn't know if there was anything else I could do for her.
Pat, go ahead, Richard, and then Pat, and then I'll sound off too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say for just the, you know, puncture wounds will indicate, you know, what kind of attack it was. I mean, some predators will just bite for the blood and then drop it and go on to the next, and some will want to eat. You know, they'll bite for the meal, and I think Pat'll can confirm this, but I think when we spoke before the show, we were talking a little bit about snakes, and a constrictor, you know, something like a rat snake or a black snake is a constrictor, and they will, of course, they're in there really for the eggs, but if the bird is small enough, if they consider it swallowable, they may give it a shot, and they will kill the animals by squeezing them to death, and then they'll be sort of not visibly injured, so that could be a possibility. But that's about all I have to say about the predator. On the other side of the thing, you gave him the yogurt, you might also want to look at giving him some electrolyte, like a Pedialyte or some type of electrolyte, Gatorade or something like that, that'll help bring their systems back a little bit. And that's about all I can add to that.
Pat?
Okay. So now the bird doesn't have a gaping wound on it. Is that right, Bunny?
No, it does not. There is a little bit of, like, underneath her wing, there is an abrasion there, but it's not nothing that's open at all. I mean, I've checked her all over. The other question I had, she was a good layer, and now she's not laying. Will she just automatically quit laying, or is she going to have to worry about building up eggs?
When a bird gets stressed, and it can stressing can even include changing coops or being at a show like a fair, they'll stop laying eggs. That's a natural thing they do, and usually in a few days to a week they'll start again, and you don't need to worry about her losing eggs. But I think if it's just a puncture wound, what I would do is just watch it and make sure it drains if it needs to. And she'll probably be fine as long as infection doesn't set in. I prefer not to give antibiotics. Probably if you do, probably the easiest way is to do an oral syringe. Or I know Whisper keeps penicillin in his refrigerator, but I found as long as the infection doesn't set in, she'll probably be fine.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Whisper, did you have something to add to that?
I think that goes really well. I know that a lot of times you can use blue lotion, I guess, if she separated the chicken from the others, because they'll be attracted to that red color, especially if it's still bleeding or has scabs, and that's just going to irritate the area as more chickens start pecking at that red area if it's still bleeding, or they peck it where it bleeds again. And so a lot of times blue lotion, blue coat, purple lotion, you can find it a lot of times in the equine aisle at your local feed and seed store, and that's an antiseptic that you can put on there as well, and it's blue and it covers the red color, it helps heal, and so that's often in my first aid kit as well. And I don't know as far as what attacked, if they were just dead there and there wasn't really an apparent major trauma, it could have been something killing for fun. I've seen cats do that, I've seen neighborhood dogs do that as well, versus something that's killing for a meal. I'm sure other animals can do that too, but most of the time when I hear just dead chickens from trauma, but there wasn't any type of rips or tears or half eaten or heads were missing or things like that, more times than not when I've heard stories, it ends up being a cat or a neighborhood dog made the kill for fun, wasn't interested in the chickens for a meal. So, Bunny, thank you very much for listening to the show, and thank you very much for calling us today.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
I've got one more suggestion,
sure,
for Bunny,
okay.
And that is I have had chickens that were attacked and they got so traumatized that they almost had PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And so, Bunny, if your chicken is like not wanting to go back in the coop or whatever, just keep her in or if you're worried about her becoming ill, just keep her in a little kennel or someplace separate where she can be calm and get a lot of good food, really good nutritious food, and then kind of ease her back in.
Mm-hmm.
But I had one chicken. I had to move the coop. She would not go back at all until I moved it up here by the house. But then everyone was dead but her. So that was a little bit of an extreme thing. So,
well,
good luck with your hen, Bunny. Hope she's all right.
Is there any way that you can do like if her wing is broke? Is there anything you can do with that?
Oh well, yes.
I can't. It's dragging, and I, you know. But she doesn't seem to have any, like, she doesn't seem to, like, mess with it too much. Like, if I pick it up, it doesn't seem like, it's almost like it come from, like, the shoulder, like the work that would attach. Like,
yeah.
I
had a hen like that, Bunny, and one of the things I did is I got the hen up and kind of, I wanted to make sure it wasn't any compound fracture or anything, but kind of up and tucked it under her, by her arm the way it would normally lay. And then I used just the paper tape. That you can buy. It came in, I think it was either 2-inch or 3-inch, and just gently wrapped her leg so it was in position. And it's sort of like having a person with a sling on their arm, you know, so it kind of protects it and keeps it from being so mobile, so it causes more stress. And I just left that on her for about 2-3 days, and then it just came off really easily because that's the beauty of that paper tape. And then she was fine, and she was using it then later on. So if you're worried about it being stressed or torn ligaments, that might be one thing to consider.
Is there anything you can give them for pain medication at all? I mean, like, can you, not Tylenol, but like baby aspirin I give to my goats and to, or calves and stuff. I don't know if you can give baby aspirin to chickens or not.
Good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure about
that's a really good question.
The pain issue as well, and giving aspirin being, you know, an anticoagulant. If that would affect them or their digestive system, and I'm not sure.
She doesn't have an open wound. It's not an open. It's like an. It's underneath her wing, and it's kind of like an abrasion. It's nothing that anybody else could even. It's not. It's not wet or moist or anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just was curious because I give it to my goats, and we've given it to calves when they're young and they've had problems. We've been able to give them baby aspirin, but I didn't know about chickens.
Yeah, I'd be a little cautious of aspirin because you probably know, Bunny, if you give a cat an aspirin, their nervous system is just enough different. It'll cause them severe
right.
stress and sometimes even kill them.
Right.
I just Googled it, and it's in here saying Tramadol has been used in chickens, but it doesn't give a dosage or anything that's on that. I'll look into that more because that is a really good question. One of the interesting things I've noticed about chickens is they don't seem to express their pain.
Mm-hmm.
They have this. Yeah. Well, you can see the fear. Certainly, I mean, they're very expressive with that. But when it comes to pain, I mean, they'll certainly squawk. But we're going to have a veterinary. What's the animal doctor is going to be a regular guest on the show?
Absolutely. Peter Brown,
and
also known as
question.
The chicken doctor with First State Vet Supply, is going to be on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. And then, of course, which great chock full of information. And then, of course, the first and third Thursdays is Dr. Bridget McCray, Ph.D., poultry scientist and professor. So we'll keep that question down, and we'll ask it to the experts, if you will.
Well, I appreciate it because this is the first time I just found you guys today, and when you started talking about the passes and stuff, I thought, well, I'm going to call about the other because I thought I've had my chickens for over a year, and I've never had any trouble with predator stuff, and this was the first time thing, and I didn't want to have it happen again. And
absolutely.
Okay,
well,
thanks, Bunny.
Much,
thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. See here, make sure there we go. Perfect. All righty, folks, we're going to take a very, very quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with the opossums, and then we'll have chicken trivia contest sponsored by McMurray Hatchery. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom-labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
I saved a boatload of money negotiating at Priceline. You can too.
Priceline negotiator.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All righty, we're going to wrap it up here, folks. We've got the chicken trivia contest. We've got to really rush through that. Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. Just go and subscribe, backhomemagazine.com. Awesome publication here on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. Richard, chock full of information, one of my favorite subjects, it seems like, possums. And we thank you very much for coming on and sharing all your knowledge, and we look forward to seeing you back here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, we'll see you in a couple weeks then.
Great, thank you so much.
Okay.
All righty, Pat, you're still on here. We got a chicken trivia question. If you know the answer, you're going to win this Coop King hat from McMurrayHatchery.com. We've got about 4 minutes left. You got to call in. We're going to take caller number 9. Caller number 9, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. What is the only breed of chicken developed by a woman? Okay, there we go. Some of you have heard this before, but the only chicken that was developed by a woman. And we're going to take caller number 9 at 347-637-3237. While we're waiting for the phone lines to light up, I'm going to say thank you very much to my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, for joining me every day right here, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, Richard Frudenberger, for all the great information you bring on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month. We've got great programming here on the radio show. If you're a first-time listener, thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you for calling in today, our callers. And thank you, everybody, in the chat room. And, of course, thanks to our sponsors that make this radio show possible. Save some money. Use those coupon codes. McMurray Hatchery, Whisper, 718, 10% off any order over $50. Free shipping at edcartons.com when you use the key code Whisper. 10% off your entire order at randallburkey.com when you use the coupon code Whisper. So definitely support our sponsors that keep this radio show on the air. Okay, as the it's lighting up, we've got about 3 minutes left. The only chicken breed developed by a woman. Make sure, Pat, you still there with us? She may have put herself on mute.
Yep, I'm here. I'm here, Whisper.
Perfect.
Yeah,
alrighty,
I love this question, too, because at least in the U.S., of course, we don't know about prehistory. There might have been other breeds developed by women ages ago, but this is the one recorded one that we definitely know about.
Very good. All righty, we're going to the phone lines right near. Caller number 9. Caller number 9, you're calling in from area code 810, area code 810, if you'll turn your radio down in the background. Just state your name and what state you're calling from.
Hi,
Michelle. Hi, Michelle, how are you? What state are you calling from, Michelle?
Michigan.
From Michigan.
Yay, Michigan.
All right.
Yay.
And the only chicken breed developed that we know of by a woman here in the U.S.
Well, it's hard to say being from Michigan, but it's a Buckeye.
Yes. Very good. Congratulations.
Absolutely. That is correct. You're the winner of the McMurray Hatchery, McMurrayHatchery.com Thursday chicken trivia contest. You get a Coop King hat. I'm sorry it's not a Coop Queen hat, but it is a Coop King hat. And what I'll do, Michelle, is I'll call you after the radio show and get all your shipping information, get that over to Matthew at McMurray Hatchery. We thank them for sponsoring every Thursday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And Michelle, thank you very much for listening from Michigan.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, Pat, we've got about, about a minute left. Again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Lots of stuff going on. Go out and grab a Wall Street Journal, folks. Front page story all about backyard poultry. Very promising as it spreads across the country even more. And about 85% of the towns that approach changing their laws to allow it do change their laws to allow it. There's still just a few that for some reason decide to be a little bit of close-minded about the idea. Don't listen to the facts. So every day we try to change their mind and educate folks, keeping backyard poultry here on this radio show, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, my co-host Pat Foreman, author of many books, City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, Day Range Poultry, and Backyard Market Gardening, all wonderful, how you can use chickens in your backyard as garden helpers. You can get all of her books online at Pat, why don't you tell us?
Oh, well, you can get it from the chickenwhisperer.com website.
And
of course, your local bookstores will carry them. Yeah, local bookstores will carry them, and it's also available on Amazon. Thank you. Thank
Perfect.
You, Whisper.
No problem. 25 seconds left, Pat. I'll let you wrap it up as always.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Well, Richard Frudenberger, he's the publisher and technical writer for Back Home Magazine. Thank you so much for talking with us about possums. And I never knew that possums rarely got rabies. That in itself is worth listening to this whole show. Andy, thanks for bringing us all together. And, of course, thanks to the chat room chicken ears for clucking along. Blessings to everyone, and may the flock be with you forever. God bless.